Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
In 1954, in a remote mountain village in South America, 4-year-old Marina Chapman was abducted from her housing estate and then abandoned deep in the Colombian jungle. That she survived is a miracle. 2 days later, half-drugged, terrified, and starving, she came upon a group of Capuchin monkeys. Acting entirely on instinct, she tried to do what they did. She ate what they ate, copied their actions, and little by little, learned to fend for herself. So begins the story of her 5 years among the monkeys, during which time she gradually became feral. She lost the ability to speak, lost all inhibition, lost any real sense of being human, replacing the structure of human society with the social mores of her new simian family. But society would eventually reclaim her. She tells the story in the incredible new book, The Girl with No Name, the story of a child raised by monkeys. Marina Chapman is the author, and her daughter, Vanessa James, is the co-author, and it's a pleasure to welcome them both to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hi. Thank you.
Marina, give us a sense of at what point did you know you wanted to share this story with an audience and tell what happened to you?
I did want to share my story. I wanted to keep it quiet. Eventually, one day, I have to talk about it because my behavior, maybe something to do with the way I was unusual. Not many housewives were like me, so disappoint sometimes people are puzzled and then you have to say something.
And Vanessa, yeah. When did you become aware of your mother's story and its effects on her and, of course, on you?
I've always just seen it growing up as completely normal. And I think it's only until recently, looking back and how surprised everyone is at maybe our more or less orthodox ways, that it's probably a bit more unusual. But to us, that was just normal, you know, climbing trees as kids. Mum would catch us our first pet rather than us going to a pet shop. We would always be really adventurous. Mum was kind of one of us. She was, all, you know, a good mum, and she gave us discipline, but at the same time, she was always great, you know, getting her hands in the mud with us, picking up creepy crawlies. And we had a lot of fun.
Marina, when it comes to the time that you spent with the Capuchin monkeys, that learning experience, do you have great respect for that species?
I do. I love them, and they are very lovely animals. You know, they respond to your kindness. They don't hurt you. Maybe at first they check for you and they push you and everything, but they don't hurt you, and just they like to find out who are you by pruning and touching and, you know, doing things like that.
And it certainly seems in the book and partially because of your young age, but they accepted you perhaps more than you accepting them, although I guess it was a little bit of both, right?
Yes, it was. It was both together, yeah.
And in their accepting of you, at what point did you know that you were a part of this family, for want of a better term?
It was really interesting. I was sitting, observing them, and, you know, it's really entertaining to watch these animals. You forget your problems, but what I realized that one of them landed over my shoulders, and that was fantastic because I realized they do trust me and they wanted to become a friend, so they wanted to stand on my shoulders and touch my face. I just thought, how fantastic is this? Because if you've never been anybody been touching you in a way that they say, oh, I'll give you a hug. It was lovely for me to have a hug from this monkey. And it means so much to me because it was fantastic. I felt secure. I felt somebody, you know, care for me because I felt very insecure for a long time. I thought, nobody wants me, and, you know, that kind of rejection. But that monkey makes a difference, because when it lands on my shoulders, that was fantastic.
Was there... I mean, there's obviously things that you could do that they could not. Were they curious by that, do you think?
Well, yes, that's true. There was a times when I couldn't climb trees, and that was really my problem, because I couldn't do it like they do. But I did it so many times, I found the way to do it eventually. But it took me such a long time, and I felt, and I banged my head, and... you know, and eventually I did it. But that was fantastic when I managed to climb up. It was just like achieving something that I've been trying for a long time.
Did they try to do things that you did that they couldn't do?
They do watch you. They are curious. If you carry something in your hand, they do watch you, what you got in your hand. They just check in, what are you eating? And it's all, you know, to do with what are you having in your hands. You take it out of your hands and your fingers and see if you got something to eat.
You were there for, as I mentioned in the introduction, 5 years, over 5 years. At the age of 10, you were discovered by a pair of hunters. And, I mean, was there a feeling of being rescued, or were you such a part of this culture that didn't even really apply?
It was difficult for me to trust anybody, because there were quite a few hunters. They do tend to take animals and put it inside of the sacks. And I didn't like the feel of, you know, that I will be the next one and I will put me into the sack. I didn't want to go with, you know, coming out. I decided to stay, hide, and stay until they're gone. But it was a long time, and it was one day I saw this hunter, and this lady was really nice. I thought, she's a nice lady, and I did trust her, but it wasn't what I thought. I walked towards her, and the only thing I just found, she was shocked. She didn't smile. You know, I was a little bit unsure. Shall I carry on? But she already saw me, so they just didn't want to touch me or anything. And she didn't smile either, but when I saw her smiling with the hunter, I was just so, she's nice, I'm going towards her. Well, eventually I went with them, but I would just, there was a point, I just want to go back to the monkeys, because they started to push me, and they didn't like me to walk in the way I was supposed to walk, and not beating me, but it was like knocking me over. I would stand up and walk straight or something like that. But I wanted to go back to the monkeys because he was really rough.
Sold to a brothel only to run away and become a street hustler, and then you even stayed with an abusive mafioso family. Life certainly was not easy. And then finally, a woman took pity on you and offered you a better life. And the most
interesting.
Well, the most incredible part about the story is that you finally found someone in your life to trust.
For the first time, yes, for a long time. It was just really, I didn't trust anybody. I had difficulty trusting anybody. So, but when I saw this lady, when I was climbing up at the tree and I saw her, she looks like she was the best person I ever met in my life. And I began to trust her. And it's the best thing that happened to me. I'm so pleased that she'd really look after me. And it was great. You know, I love it.
You were how old at that point when you met her?
I'm just trying to work out about a teenager. The only thing I can work out of this is about my breast. I have to put some sellotape to block it, to keep it up, because I was very embarrassed. I was a very small person, but that was my embarrassment, so I just didn't want to show anything.
So she
thought I was 9. But I knew I wasn't, because eventually, you know, she found out later.
We've worked out that she was about 15, but it's been quite hard for Mum to figure out what age she was or even how many years in the jungle. It's only something we've all figured out recently, really. But about 15, that would have been.
About 15. And at that point, I mean, you're in such a as you indicated, I mean, such a change in life and becoming an adult. So really, this woman comes in at a crucial time to ultimately help better your life and save you.
Thank goodness for that. Yes, it was fantastic. It really saved my life because she just looked after me and she just became like a mother to me. And I never thought it was a kind human. Sometimes you just struggle at the end of the day and just you become like a pest for the people. But she was the one who gave me a hand. She had 9 children when she was younger. And she brought her children after her husband died very young. But she brought 9 children herself, plus me later. That was incredible.
Vanessa, what was your relationship like with her?
I never got to meet her, sadly.
No,
the woman who actually rescued Mum was the mother of
Maruja.
Yeah, she was called Maruja. She was actually the mother of the family that did actually fully adopt Mum, and we did actually get to meet this daughter. She was called Marianelli. We got to meet her last year, where she sadly died. But she'd been on a life support machine for quite a few weeks, and when we arrived in Colombia, she woke up before she passed away. So everyone said that they were obviously waiting for somebody to come, and with Mum coming, we think it was a really special moment for us to say goodbye and thank you. And
yeah,
couldn't have said more thank yous.
Yeah,
great.
That was really incredible.
And Marina, there's a wonderful picture of you in the book, and I guess in. A fairly recent picture of you climbing a tree, and so you still have it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Every time. Every time we're in the woods.
I can't help it. It's just wood is such a, security place to be. You can be inside of the trees. You can be inside of the forest. Believe me, it's the best bit to be with. You feel secure.
She's the most happiest when she's in a tree.
Yeah.
Looks like she's in a home.
And as far as the capuchin monkeys, did you ever want to be surrounded by them again or to interact with them again?
I do really want to go. Anyway, I will be going to Colombia and I will be in the jungle eventually. They are ranching that and I'm looking forward for that. And hopefully they might find the family, and then somebody might know the name. I sent some DNA, so I hope somebody might recognize something. We put some adverts.
To find her biological family.
To find the biological and see who is my parents. Did I have brothers? Did I have sister? No idea, but I would like to know that.
Absolutely.
So that would be really good.
Although she does seem more excited about finding the monkeys than her biological family.
Yeah,
their DNA as well.
Yeah, because you knew them, I suppose, but she has no memory of her.
But they were lovely animals. They didn't treat me badly, so I'm afraid I do love the monkeys. I'm sorry.
It is an astonishing and beautiful story. It's The Girl with No Name, the incredible story of a child raised by monkeys. It's published by Avery. Marina Chapman and Vanessa James, I thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with us. It's a great thrill.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Again, the name of the book, The Girl with No Name, The Incredible Story of a Child Raised by Monkeys, published by Avery. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.